Hello, everybody. Welcome again to Push My Buttons. I was actually about ready to say the name of a podcast from a friend of mine because it's been so long since we've recorded. Forgot the name of our podcast. Welcome back. It's been a minute. We have had lots of technical difficulties. Luke has been out of commission because of his computer and father responsibilities, but his computer is completely dead. He can't start it. So tonight, it's just going to be a side quest. It will be me and
Captain Platinum's here.
Yeah, so it's going to be kind of a shorter episode. We're just going to kind of chill, relax. By the time we are recording this, we have been a week from the incident in the Capitol. My focus has been completely on that and on politics, and this is not a show on politics. I was about to say a politics show. That doesn't make any sense. This is not a show on politics. So I have not really been keeping up with the game news, but I have been trying to drown my sorrows in the best video games I can get my hands on. So we're just going to be kind of chilling, having a conversation about the games that we're playing, as well as going over just two crucial pieces of news that did catch our eye. So we're just going to cover those first. I am really excited, Captain Platinum, to talk about this deal that happened with EA. Have you had a chance to read up on it very much?
I saw that it happened. I've seen multiple news stories, but I haven't like dove in and read everything about it. So I know the high level what happened.
Yeah, so this just came out I heard about it late yesterday, but yep, more of it's coming out today. And it's relevant because in our podcast network and in the Salt Lake area, I mean, Star Wars is the lifeblood, especially for those that can go to the conventions whenever conventions begin again. But yeah, it has to do with Star Wars. So as everyone I'm sure knows, the whole problem with having EA running these Star Wars games is that the Star Wars games aren't super good. A lot of them have always been just kind of monetization. In fact, what are all the EA Star Wars games that have been made? There is Battlefront, Battlefront 2.
And Jedi Fallen Order.
Jedi Fallen Order. So there's only been three. According to Jason Schreier, EA never really wanted to do Star Wars. They just took it because it was a bank, but they never really wanted to put in money towards it. So the Battlefront games were always kind of lackluster. I never really enjoy those types of first-person shooter round games. I got into Overwatch for a while, but I never stick around. So those games didn't really hit it for me. Jedi Fallen Order is on my playlist, and that is by far everyone's favorite game. And EA is just like, we don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. So the time came around to renew the contract for EA, and it wasn't renewed for EA. Actually, I'm going to kind of look up the news story as of right now, but everyone will probably already know it by the time this episode comes out. But it's important to realize that we're going to get some better Star Wars games coming out. I don't know if this is going to be the I wouldn't say open license. That's definitely the wrong term. I'm not sure if this is going to be kind of like studios come with their pitches and then they are given the okay to make the game, or if it's going to be exclusive to Ubisoft. But essentially, there's going to be a new direction and era for Star Wars and Lucasfilm gaming overall. Basically, this is the quote from Lucasfilm Games. "We're looking to work with the best in-class teams that can make great games across all of our IP. We've got a team of professionals here at Lucasfilm Games who can work with its developers, shape the stories, shape the creative, shape the games to make them really resonate with fans and deliver across a breadth of platforms, genres, and experiences so that all our fans can enjoy the IPs that they know and love." So basically, this is going to be, instead of it being an exclusivity deal with EA, which really blows, they're going to kind of open it up. And then studios can decide if they want to do a Star Wars game. They will pitch it to Lucasfilm Games. and then they will work side by side with Lucasfilm Games, I'm sure with some creative, you know, oversight, and then they will make the games that they want to make. So we're not going to get just shooters. I mean, that's really awesome. Ubisoft has talked about creating an open world game.
Yeah, I heard that. Star Wars.
I would personally like to see Star Wars. I mean, like, I know Jedi is like a staple of Star Wars, but I feel like Star Wars is so vast. I mean, it's an entire galaxy, but the way how it's currently being treated is that planets are single cities and that everyone cares about the Jedi and everyone cares about one family in an entire galaxy. So I would really like to see them expand it a little bit more. I want to see a game that goes beyond the Jedi staple. I want to see bounty hunters or smugglers or just different types of characters that don't necessarily have anything to do with the Force. And an open-ended game like that, I feel, would be awesome. Of course, they can't do there's no reason why they can't do that with a Jedi, but I feel like they could really do it with a bounty hunter, because a lot of the Assassin's Creed games are in that same vein too. You can create a character that's a bounty hunter or a smuggler, and it kind of fits in with the new fresh coat of paint. So Ubisoft is going to be doing something like that. I personally am excited to check it out. What about you? What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I'll be excited to see where they go. Curious if they'll go kind of like Immortals, Phoenix Rising, if they'll do like Assassin's Creed. In my guild, because the Star Wars game I play is EA and Capital Games, and I believe they've done a few other Star Wars mobile games as well, and them being EA. So some people are wondering what that means for the mobile game as well, because it's Capital Games, but EA oversees that. So now the question comes in for us is, will Ubisoft now own the overarching of the game, and will they work with Capital Games, or how does that all work?
I don't think so. I think EA will still run that game. All the games that EA, well, like if EA has like a way of monetizing it, or they own that particular game, they can still have it. It's not going to be taken away, and it's not an exclusivity deal to Ubisoft.
Yeah.
The way how I feel is that if EA suddenly decides like 2 years from now, hey, you know what? Maybe we should give a single Star Wars project a shot, because we got a lot of people on staff that want to do it. And then they go back to Lucasfilm Games and say, hey, we want to make a single Star Wars game. I think they can do that. I don't think that they're cutting EA out or necessarily changing contractors. Yeah. They're just making it a more open-ended contract.
And I didn't get a chance to read the articles, but that was what someone was curious about. And then, yeah, so some people were worried. They were saying they've played Assassin's Creed, but the XVO trilogy, and they said they hated stealth objectives and stuff like that. So like, I don't really want a Star Wars game like that. So yeah, I'd be curious how the open world game plays. Is it open galaxy, open world, open planet, open planets, which I guess would then be right galaxy. So that could be interesting. And then could you choose to be a Sith or a bounty hunter? Or I mean, it'd be weird if you wanted to be Chancellor Palpatine or whatever they decide to do. And then the current books now, the comics and the new books just came out for High Republic stuff. So that's, I think, what was that, 100 to 300 years before?
I'm not sure. I think that's what they're saying. I'm not an expert on Star Wars. I'm just trying to recall.
Just saying that they're going before Phantom Menace now. Like the new stuff that is coming out just starting this week or last week. There's a new comic that came out, and they're going the High Republic route, and then you still have the Old Republic as well that they could go back to. So there's plenty of stuff being created. So we'll see where they go with it and what they decide to do. And yeah, it'll be fun. Hopefully we don't go back to just a pod racing game or a squadrons game. Although, I mean, I'm glad they create those games, but yeah, I'm curious to see what they would do with open world and.
Yeah. Just so that everyone knows, if you can get kind of the lowdown on it at StarWars.com/news/Lucasfilm Games interview. And down further in the article, they say that EA will still be running the games that they have. So you don't have to worry about your game kind of like all of a sudden being dropped. It's really just going to be more open-ended. I personally would love to see, and I think a lot of people would too, a new Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah,
I played. So I found Knights of the Old Republic way after it was obsolete. I played the first one back in 2017, and that's like, by that time that game was archaic, and I was able to really appreciate it for the time period in which it came out. Yeah, I could see why a lot of people loved it, and if it hit me during that time, I would have loved it as a kid. But because I'm not a huge, huge Star Wars fan, and because the game system was very archaic, I did like it when I was playing it, but there were just other games that I really wanted to focus on. So I did drop Knights of the Old Republic, and I read up on the story. I would love to see a more updated version, like a Knights of the Old Republic 3, either continuing that story or going into a different aspect of the Old Republic or the High Republic, or even like the Mandalorian era, because that's kind of highlighting a new era of Star Wars. I wouldn't mind, not that I don't like first-person shooter games, I would prefer it to be a little bit more in-depth, not just a money grab that I feel Battlefront 2 is. Mm-hmm. But going to something like that for Mandalorian, I don't know. So like Doom, for example, I feel is like a fantastic first person shooter, or Borderlands, if you want to throw in some RPG features, something like that. I would just love to see the Star Wars skin and explore a different aspect of it. And I'm glad EA is having less of, you know, their grimy paws in it. So I'm excited. I'm excited overall. I would like to see a new Star Wars RPG. But that's because I'm the RPG guy.
Yeah, yeah, that would all be fun, man. It's just curious where they decide to go with it. And I'm sure they'll want to make it canon, so that'll be where you need the Lucasfilm Games guys to be involved.
Yeah, I wonder if they are going to... I wonder if they already have deals in the making. I mean, because Ubisoft announced this like the day this announcement came out, which would imply that they've been negotiating this for a while. I wonder if there are other projects coming down the pipeline with other creators. And I wonder if we're going to get more info soon.
Yeah, it's all possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm just hoping they can keep everything canon and in order between Disney Plus shows, new movies, and everything else that they're trying to do.
I don't think they're going to do new movies anytime soon. I think the new trilogy kind of
like they made a bad taste.
Yeah, the new trilogy, like love it or hate it, it did make them a profit, but it caused them a ton of heartache.
Mm-hmm.
You had actors that were completely disenfranchised with working on that series. You have called like death threats floating around. Like it was incredibly stressful. If just like, it was almost like not really worth it for the people that were on the project. I think they are kind of doing the right thing by going into other modes of storytelling rather than the brand new movies. I know that they canceled a whole slate of movies. They had, I think, a movie that was scheduled to come out every year and they've completely abandoned that. I think they're going to go more into like the side stories.
Yeah, I think they're trying to do more side stories like they had done with Solo and Rogue One.
Mm-hmm. And I would like to see that. I just like I feel like the sequel movies are kind of the inverse of the prequel movies, where like the individually, I feel like they were great, but they weren't like the. Like what's the phrase? Like it wasn't as good as the sum of its parts or something like that, where like as a trilogy, I think it was really, really bad. But I can appreciate each individual movie for what it did. And the prequels, I feel like each individual movie was very bad, but as a whole, they contributed a lot to the Star Wars lore. So I feel like they're kind of inverses of each other, but I think that they are learning their lesson and they're going to step away from that. They don't want to burn everybody out. I know I got burnt out, but
well, that's the problem too, right? Is Marvel, I feel like I got burnt out, and I'm a comic book guy, right?
Yeah.
But I think last year with no Marvel movies coming out, I mean, they were supposed to do Black Widow. I'm curious. I don't know if they've even given a release date or if they're going straight to Disney Plus yet.
I don't think so because have you watched Wonder Woman 84?
Yeah, I watched it on HBO Max with a friend.
Were you disappointed in it?
Yeah. I went in with low expectations because I'd heard several people complain. So
they didn't give me specifics.
I appreciated what they did in a way, but it felt way too long for me, and some things just didn't work well for me. But I went in with low expectations and considered it a popcorn movie, and it kind of delivered. That's why I said it's in that 4 to 5 out of 10 realm for me.
Yeah, I there came a point where I just kind of laughed at it. Should I get into the part where I completely tuned the movie out? Yeah, I'll get into it. We got time.
Yeah. I was just trying to avoid spoilers in case people haven't seen it, but I mean, it's been several weeks, so.
Yeah. I'll stay out of like major spoilers. If you really want to get into it and you don't care about spoilers, you can always watch Red Letter Media. They do a really good job at like kind of breaking it down. They obviously did not like it. They liked the first movie. Same with me. I thought the first movie was fantastic. I thought the ending was kind of touch and go, but we just recently found out that the ending was like the studio essentially strong armed the director to do it a certain way. So I can forgive that. But the second movie, it was like, it was kind of like a plane that was sputtering for me for the entire, you know, duration of the movie, and it's losing altitude and it's getting ready to crash. And the part for me, ironically, involved the plane scene. So light spoilers, this is not story important at all, but it is a specific event where there's tension and there's a relief in tension. So keep that in mind. But they go into the invisible plane. And it's like a single, like that entire scene is so wonky, from flying into fireworks and everything. Like there were fireworks during Steve Trevor's time, which is odd. But there's a scene where it's like, oh, I forgot to tell you they have radar. What's radar? That means that they can see you. It's too hard to explain right now, which was exactly, I feel like, what the writers were saying as they were in the writing room. And they were just like, I can turn this invisible. That will help. Okay, well, you better do it. And then there's some like joking dialogue back and forth as she's trying to cast the spell. And she casts the spell, turning the plane invisible. And then you see a cutaway to the radar screen. And you see the little bleep, beep, beep. And then the bleep just disappears. And they're like, where did they go? It's like they disappeared. And they couldn't find it. It's like, that's not how radar works. I work in the radar industry. And I know how that works. It's not a camera. It's not like they're looking at you physically. Mm-hmm. Radar is completely, it doesn't work like that. It actually, if you want it to be invisible, you would have to change the shape of your plane if you want to turn invisible to radar, not go invisible. So at that point, when they were just like, they disappeared, where'd they go? I was totally just tuned out. I was just like, all right, this is dumb. But that was just me. That's just like some really odd thing. Like the first Thor movie didn't work for me because there was a scene where a tornado happened and they were standing right next to the tornado and nothing was happening. And that for me was like the blow away from the movie. I get some really odd, like, breaking points for me when it comes to fantasy movies and or superhero movies in general. But that for me, when they turned invisible and then the radar couldn't see it, I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm an engineer and I can't break away from that. But that I was totally disinterested after that point. But I do know a lot of people really liked it. And I don't want to bash on those people. I mean, you like what you like. But why did we get? Oh, we got into this topic because a burnout. Yeah. So when it came to Black Widow, I think they're holding off.
Yeah,
that was a huge tangent.
Yeah, But no, just to finish that off, I laughed too at the same spot that you did. And my friend was like, turn off your engineering brain. So
yeah,
I just say that. Yeah. I had the same problem. It was, yeah. And just that whole middle section just seemed just to drag on and on and on. And I was just like, what is going on?
Or the fact that they're driving on, like, I guess Egypt has only one highway in the entire country. And Egypt is not a small country. It's a massive place. There's only one highway, apparently. And, like, Wonder Woman passes her target on that highway. And it's like, that was the person we needed to, like, she just caught him.
Yeah. Like,
oh, no, that was just odd. There's a lot of things about that movie that did not work for me. But I think they're going to hold off on the Black Widow movie because I think that movie is doing so poorly.
Yeah, so I'm curious to see how things are going to go. I think Star Wars has seen success with Mandalorian on Disney Plus doing the 8-episode seasons for 2 seasons now. And they've announced a ton of shows for next year and beyond, right? So,
right.
And so has Marvel now. And Marvel's first show starts tomorrow, WandaVision. So I'm curious to see how that goes. And I'm wondering if we're going to start seeing a shift now of things. So that's where I was kind of going with that. And then, but all that stuff's canon and it allows them to do these types of things. So,
right. Right. We need to shift back to games.
Yeah. But that's where you're like wondering with games and where we're heading and there's no movies and we don't need to make games based off of movies, but we're talking about the canon stuff, keeping things canon. That's how we got on that topic. Well, so
this is a side quest. It's
yeah.
I really appreciate our listeners that are still with us at this point, guys. We love you. But let's shift gears to the second story that we wanted to get into, which was Cyberpunk. A lot has been happening.
Yeah, there is always multiple news stories a week on this.
Oh yeah. And it's, I feel like because of the news that happened, like the national level news, they had like the heat and the fire kind of like back off them a little bit, but they recently, so I don't even know where to begin because so much news has happened. They recently went through a YouTube crucible, which is making their first apology video. So they just came out like yesterday. I guess this is the most recent piece of news. The co-founder of CD Projekt, I guess CD Projekt Red is the game division, or it's like the studio, and CD Projekt is the company. But the co-founder of CD Projekt came out and did a 5-minute video, and he essentially apologized about Last Gen, and he tried to explain his point of view about what happened to Cyberpunk 2077. We've talked about this before on the show, but in case you need a refresher and this isn't like your type of game and you don't follow up on the news, the Cyberpunk 2077, not only is it glitchy as hell, but the old generation consoles are incredibly bad to the point where Sony removed it from its store. So this video tackled that subject.
And if you need some more news on that, go listen to episode 24 of the Push My Button Games podcast. And you can listen to Mike and myself and Pat and X-Men 87 talk about all the glitches that were happening up to 3 weeks ago. So just to, if you need to catch up, we covered quite a bit of that in the last episode. Just wanted to mention that.
I loved my glitch list. We'll get into this, and then let's go into the development about like the bugs that I encountered and stuff. But in the video, he describes kind of like their, I guess from his perspective about what happened. And he admits that they focused completely on the PC version because they are mainly a PC gaming company. They do have GOG, which is in the trinity of game distribution platforms for the computer. Steam and Epic Games being the other two. Epic is the newest player on the scene, but they're also the weakest. GOG isn't as strong as Steam, but there's a huge incentive because they're DRM-free games. So, and I really like GOG, to be honest. They focus more on their PC gaming. And they admitted to that in this video. And he tries to describe the difficulty of downgrading and downscaling to older gen hardware. But he blames it on, we didn't catch it in testing. And that to me is an excuse, because all you had to do was turn the game on.
Right. What testing were you doing? Were you testing, what were you testing it on?
Was it like, this is the PS4 like structure of the game that we're going to be playing through our computers, and here's a PlayStation remote? No, they should have just booted up a copy onto a disc and then put it into the PlayStation and then played it. Just turn it on. What I suspect happened, and what I think we'll see in the coming weeks and months, will be the people that actually did test the game, they're going to testify and come publicly and talk about, hey, we did report this and they ignored us. Because there was a really intense interview that we covered in our last episode about how CD Projekt and upper management came and talked to the entire team. And an insider essentially described that meeting was intense. It was a firing squad, and management was up on the line. And so he essentially blamed testing, whether or not he did it direct. He actually didn't say our game testers failed. He didn't put the blame on them, but by saying we didn't catch it in testing, you're saying that the people that were supposed to test the game didn't do their job.
Right. Do you know if there's any beta testing done, with the community at all?
Not with the community, no.
Okay, just curious, because I figure a game like this might have had beta, and I don't remember hearing about it, so that's where I was curious if you knew.
No, they gave out, and this was another thing, and he tried to explain what happened here, but one of the big criticisms that came out with CD Projekt Red was that they only gave out PC keys for demos. They gave out these PC keys to a lot of people that have fan bases on YouTube or Twitch to talk about it. Some of the ones that I follow in particular would be Yong Ye and Alana Pierce. They played the game and they talked about their experiences on their channels, and they had high praises to the game. They were biased. I mean, because both of those people were looking for, both Yong Ye and Alana Pierce were very excited about Cyberpunk 2077. I was excited. If I had a key, I know I would be saying nothing but high praises about it at the time. But they had the PC version, and they were not allowed to show footage of their game until December 9th. And the game was going to come out December 10th. So that was a huge criticism. It was kind of like, well, they're saying these high things about the game, but we can't see how the game actually functions. So it seemed kind of shady. The other thing that was really shady was that they didn't give out demo keys for the console versions until I think it was December 8th, 2 days before the actual game came out, which was another shady move on their end. And so he tries to explain that, and he doesn't do it super well. A lot of it had to do with the fact that they suddenly found all these bugs and they were trying to fix it in time for December 10th. And again, I feel it's like he was shifting the blame. I do understand that they have to maintain a certain schedule. He does cite COVID being a problem. Working from home presented new challenges, and I think every company in the world is trying to figure that out. They should have just delayed the game to March, and they should have just cited, due to COVID, and because we're learning how to work from home, we have to delay the game. I think that would have been a much better move. I think he had the power to do it, and he didn't. So this video, it's him apologizing, and it is, I feel like he's making excuses, but to their credit, they didn't have to make that video. So I think that's a plus. And they have a roadmap that's incredibly vague, but I have problems with roadmaps because the roadmaps don't really mean anything. And apparently they're going to do some free DLCs and they're going to do like next gen patches at the end of this year. And that's like way far down the line. I think the game's kind of already come and gone. I know for me personally, I decided to put Cyberpunk 2077 down until after they patch it. And I'm probably not going to focus too much on it. I think I'm just going to want to finish the story and be like, that was because the game was kind of disappointing. I was really excited for it. I did enjoy chapter one and everything going up to it, but the middle, Ubisoft does an open world game better. I started Assassin's Creed Odyssey and then put it down in preparation for Cyberpunk 2077. And I now kind of regret that. I wish I stuck with Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which kind of makes me excited for the Star Wars games. But it's kind of the same. After a while, after I got into the open world function, I kind of learned the ins and outs and like what jobs earn me the most money and how to get the augments that I wanted. I can really appreciate the world, but the game as a structure and the open-endedness, I feel like Ubisoft does it a little bit better. I think Cyberpunk 2077's strength comes in with the visual style, but not so much as a game. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
Yeah, so...
I bought the game and I put it on back burner too. I'm just focusing on Valhalla, so...
Yeah, I feel like those games are better open-ended. So it's kind of a mediocre game. I will finish it because I do like the Cyberpunk story. I do like the aesthetic. I do like the kind of like how the world functions as the city, as you do things in the city. I do like that. But the game has got some weaknesses and I feel like they should not have announced it back in 2012. I think that was a really bad move on their part. And that's overall, I think it's kind of led to me being disappointed.
Well, 8 years later and it's still broken and now you're at 9 years and it's still even broken.
Yeah.
And then if you started developing it, then how does it not work on PS4? Did they just toss everything out the door and on Xbox 360 and say, let's just move to PS5 and Series X? Did they just make that decision at some point and then just stop updating those? Like, I'm trying to figure out how that happens if you started designing the game back then and announced it, because that was still PS3 era, I think.
Yeah, 2012 was the end of the PS3 era.
Well, I think that's when PS4 came out. I think PS3 era technically probably in around 2015. That probably makes sense because I think it came out in 06 or 07. So usually they're about 7 years. So yeah, maybe you're right. Mm-hmm. It was about 2013, 2014. So
yeah. And so it's just kind of a disappointment. I do still recommend it, but I do have other recommendations if you want to scratch that Cyberpunk itch. So we can get into that. But yeah, so Cyberpunk, they are going to have a huge hot fix coming in this either at the end of this month or the beginning of next month. They're going to patch out a lot of the bugs. The save glitch, where if your save file gets to 8 megabytes, your save file is corrupted. That has been fixed. In fact, what was funny about that is, when we recorded, that bug was just discovered.
Yep.
And then the next day after we recorded, CD Projekt Red released a statement saying, hey, that's not going to be fixed anytime soon because our games are meant to have a beginning and an end. And it's a set time. And if you wanted to keep playing it, you have to start a new character. That's how we intended. That was like the design of it, which was a lame excuse, because it's like just by playing the game you're breaking it. And then like the next 3 days later they patched it. So basically they got such a backlash that they were just like, okay, fine, we'll fix it. And if it was that easy of a fix, why make it 8 megabytes to begin with? Why? It was just so odd. But it's gotten to the point now where legal action is being taken against them, both here in the States. There is a case filed in California, and there are cases being filed in Poland. And it has to do, I think the cases here in California, or when I say here, I mean in the States, but specifically in California, that's more of like a class action lawsuit on behalf of the investors. And then the cases in Poland, I believe it has to do more with the consumer side. But it's getting to the point now where like Cyberpunk 2077's revenue, like 10% of its revenue may go as a penalty to the government over there in Poland. Until I don't know very much of the details, but like they're in a lot of legal trouble.
Yeah. Was that the one article I sent to the group there that they've got now, the one group watching over them or looking at watching over them and checking in on them?
There's multiple groups now. I know that Sony is looking in on them. Poland is looking in on them. And so they're under a lot of scrutiny. They just completely lost all the goodwill. So that's really sad. It really is.
And I wonder if that's like setting a precedent for the future for them and other companies, right? Don't do this. Like, it kills me that we saw the teaser for Metroid Prime 4, what, 2 years ago at this point? And we've heard nothing since.
I had no idea there was a Metroid Prime 4 coming out.
I believe so. I think they said the teaser at one of the last E3s. I can't remember which one it was, but I swear they did a teaser for it. And just like, when is this coming, you know? And then it's been quiet, you know? Yeah. So,
well, that's what I've got on Cyberpunk, unless there's anything you want to add.
I don't think so. I think you covered most of it. So I keep seeing the headlines and trying to read into some of the stories, but they just keep coming, man. And I just don't know how to feel for CD Projekt Red, because part of me thinks, like you said, why didn't you guys just wait till March? You had already made us wait 8 years, 6 years, whatever it was. What's an extra 6 months? Especially, you know, I think everyone has been trying to use the COVID excuse lately too.
Yeah.
And for a lot of it, it is legit. And I'm sure there is some behind it, but I wonder if in some meetings they're just going, well, we can also blame this on COVID too.
Right.
And the whole, we've got to work from home and find ways around it. That's why things aren't getting done. So,
yeah, it's bad. So I'm just going to be focusing on games that I enjoy playing, which I think is going to be our next segment. We're just going to spend some time talking about the games that we're playing right now. I'm playing a long list, but do you want to start off?
Sure. I usually tap on Suoga just real quick because I do play it still. So my guild is able to beat the new raid that they've put out. It takes lots of coordination. It eats up parts of my Saturday and Sunday night, but it's okay. It's you have to time everybody's drops for the raid in certain phases, because there are certain points that the health, as you progress through it, that the enemy gets stronger. So the idea is everybody gets in and then everybody holds and you do all your damage. So everybody's like holding like 3.5% or 4%. So you're hoping you've got your 25 people in there doing 4%, and then you all drop it once you know everybody's got their 100% added up. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
And then you go into the next phase, and then we start there. So it just takes time to coordinate, and it's painful, but we can do it. We're one of the – not all guilds can do it. It's very hard. I don't contribute a lot. I don't have a lot of Relic 5 characters, and that's the minimum to get in to use for this raid. So it's awesome we can do that, but they added the Armorer from The Mandalorian today. The event just dropped. This is Thursday the 14th, so by the time this probably gets up – that event will be long gone, but it's cool that they've added her to the game. And they revealed the kit yesterday. I haven't looked at it. I just hadn't had time, but I saw the event is there for Marquee. So I'm glad they've added another character, and I'm curious to see what else is coming for the game. So, yeah.
Cool, man.
So I don't know. We can do a couple back and forth, I guess, between games. I'll just hit a couple and then you can do a couple, but I'll hit my two Mario games first. I finished Mario 64. Finally, I've talked about that last several episodes that we've done for the podcast, but I finally did 120 stars, beat the game. It was fun nostalgia. It was fun to go back. still some things that like bug me or the camera, like we talked the other time.
Yeah,
but it was,
you're not the only one, man.
But again, it was really fun to go back and really have that nostalgia from like 20 some years ago.
Yeah.
And then I started the Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe on Switch, which I believe is the Mario game that was on Wii U. And it's not, that's why they call it the Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe. So I finished Acorn Plains. You know, it's a little different than it's your almost like Super Mario World type. It's a 2D Mario. So it's fun. So I've been enjoying some Mario stuff lately. I don't know why. I was just in a Mario kick.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Awesome. So I'm not sure if I want to get those Mario games. I should probably just buy them because they're going to disappear pretty soon. Like the main trilogy that's up in the store right now.
The Mario 3D All-Stars goes away at the end of March. So if you want to play Mario Sunshine, Mario Galaxy, or Super Mario 64 on your Switch. Super Mario Sunshine, Galaxy, and Mario 64. It's those three, the 3D All-Star game. That goes away from the Nintendo store, and then I'm not sure if they're pulling physical copies and sending them to Nintendo, or they no longer get, but they said supposedly March 31st, the cutoff for that.
Yeah, I'll have to buy it, because I think I would want to play like Sunshine and Galaxy, but from what I'm understanding, Mario 64, that is better. That has a better home in my memory than back on my Switch. So, but I can see myself wanting to play Galaxy because I've never played it. I hear it's easy, so might as well just jump into it.
Yeah.
For me, I am playing, I'll spend the least amount of time on this one. I actually got back into World of Warcraft. The new expansion is pretty awesome. It is a good time to be a World of Warcraft player right now, mainly because they've completely revamped the leveling system. So if you want to play through a single expansion, you can just play through a single expansion that will get you from levels 1 to 50. Current content is 50 to 60, and 60 is the max level. Whereas before, you had to go through like every single expansion, and every single expansion would bring you up like 10 to 20 levels, but you would only be like a quarter of the way through the expansion before you have to drop all the content and move on to the next one. So it was really confusing and just kind of a mess. So they really streamlined it. So if you want to just play, I don't know are you familiar with Warcraft at all? Not World of Warcraft, but Warcraft, like Warcraft 3 or anything?
No, never played them, man.
Okay. So, Warcraft 3 was the real-time strategy game, that came out like in the early 2000s. It was the last main Warcraft entry before World of Warcraft came out. And in that game, they cover a very famous villain that it didn't have any resolution. The resolution comes in World of Warcraft, and he's in one of the expansions. And so like if a new player comes by and they're like, I want to finish Arthas, who is the villain. I want to finish him off. They can literally just make a character and just play through that content. They don't have to touch anything else. So they really streamlined it. I don't want to really get into it because it is way too in depth. But it's fun. They really revamped it. The one that I do want to get a little bit more into is Yakuza 7, boy. Yakuza Like a Dragon. Which Like a Dragon is the Japanese name for it. So they got like this really weird trend going on where they just essentially named the game twice. But it's Yakuza 7. And that game is a blast. They no longer take themselves seriously at all. It's kind of like, maybe this is the wrong comparison because we talked about Star Wars and it's always kind of touchy. Remember how The Force Awakens, it is just like Episode 4, New Hope, almost beat for beat?
Yep.
So it kind of follows that trail, but does it better. You have a protagonist who was a member of a Yakuza family. He gets arrested and he gets framed and he's trying to figure out what happened, which is the story of Yakuza 1, not 0, but Yakuza 1. And the difference is that it's a brand new character and he views himself like his favorite game is Dragon Quest. So he views himself as in Dragon Quest. And so the game plays from his psyche. It's really funny. There's a scene where like when you're introduced to enemy types. So like when you're walking down the street, everyone looks like a normal person. But then when you get into a fight with somebody, they suddenly transform. They look almost monstrous. And there's some dialogue that goes with the main character and the side characters. And he's like, whoa, do you see that? He transformed. Everyone's just like, are you high? He just looks like a normal dude. He's just brandishing a knife. He's like, you mean he's not carrying like a huge sword and a shield? And you see that as the player, but they're just like, are you okay? Did you get hit in the head? And so he just accepts the fact that it's just his overactive imagination. That's the explanation for it. And because of that, the game introduces a lot of mechanics without taking the story seriously. So inherently, the story is a lot more lighthearted and it's seen through the eyes of someone differently. Whereas in the original Yakuza series, yeah, it still didn't take itself seriously. But if you just play through the main story and don't get into the side stuff, it's a very serious drama. But this one, even the main story is lighthearted and fun. I really like it. They humanize homelessness. That's like one of the first major story beats. One of their main characters is a homeless person and he's a really well-developed person. They go into what it's like to be homeless. And this is just one chapter. This isn't the entire game. I haven't gotten much further than this, but like they just seem to do very well on certain story beats. The game is really well designed. There's no bugs. So yeah, I'm really enjoying Yakuza 7. I can't wait to get further in that game, but I'm kind of dividing my time with multiple games right now. So I'm going kind of slow at it.
Yeah. That's what happens to me when I get going on multiple games. So that's why I try to be only playing a couple games at the same time if I can.
Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much all I have to say. I would highly recommend it. A lot of my favorite reviewers really like it. I know I'm in for a ride for the rest of the game. And I like everything that's being introduced so far. So yeah, I'm pretty into it. I would definitely give everyone a solid recommendation if you want. I guess kind of like a new game, but with classic RPG features. Like there are jobs that your characters can take on that change up their stats. It's turn-based. The music is, man, the music slaps. Like it's, I listen to the music at the gym. Like it's just, it's definitely head bopping. So that's, it's awesome. So yeah, I give it a recommendation. What else?
That's awesome.
What else are you playing, man?
I do need to get back to Yakuza 0 just before we get fully off of that. that went on the back burner, and I was enjoying it too, but you know, you just get put onto other games that come out. So I have not gotten back to it. So I believe the problem that it was is PS5 and Miles Morales came out is why I believe I stopped playing. So
yeah, that's, you know, sometimes you just gotta put some games down and just continue forward.
Yeah, and now I'm just worried I'm gonna go back to it and not remember how to play at all.
No, you'll pick it up again. I picked up Yakuza 0 again just, you know, when we started the game of the month for it, and I just played through the first two chapters and it just came back incredibly quick. So
yeah,
so yeah, we're about that.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean it does so talking about picking up stuff, I did get a chance to play with my buddy on PS5. I had to install RE5, Resident Evil 5 on the PS5, and we did our first party chat that way. And it was cool. We're still used to the PS4, how everything's set up. So we were fiddling around with the PS5 and making that work. So I did my first party chat with PS5, and that worked pretty well. So that was cool. But yeah, the controls come back. But again, the problem with RE5 is tank controls. So those always throw me for a loop, and I have to remind myself, okay, this is how I move. This is how you attack. So that was fun. It's always good to just catch up with a buddy and just play through that and mindlessly kill zombies. So we've completed that story, but we're just going for platinum. So it's a nice game to, you know, just chat and catch up on life and just, you know, kill zombies.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You want me to do another one, or you want to pick up a game? I've got two left, it looks like.
I'll do another game. I am also, I've gotten into The Outer Worlds, which is a great first-person shooter RPG. So if you guys are disappointed with Cyberpunk 2077, The Outer Worlds, I think I mentioned this last time, it does the first-person shooter RPG a lot better than Cyberpunk does. Mainly because it is... So it was a lot more refined in Cyberpunk. You know, it's kind of like a looter shooter a little bit, where you just equip the weapons that work best. You equip armor that works best for you, and you just kind of shoot. And that's pretty much all you have, with certain abilities being given to you through augments. But in The Outer Worlds, there is a very key mechanic that you don't have to use at all. But essentially, you can slow down time. And that's kind of their version of like, all right, we are stepping away from first-person shooter and going more into the RPG. So you can aim your gun and let your gun actually do damage in case you just miss all the time. That mechanic is very well implemented, and it's used in the game, and it actually has a story part to it. It is a looter shooter, but it's not so overwhelming like Cyberpunk. It's a little bit more of a focused game where environments are like, there are definite borders, and each planet you can look at as kind of like a level, and you just progress in the way that you think works for you. But you can also be like a Doctor Who style character where you don't kill anybody if you don't want to. You can literally, like, I mean, aside from like normal battles, like getting from point A to point B and there are enemies along the way, a lot of the major encounters can be solved by talking your way out of it. So if you want to build that type of character, I mean, you can go for it. I feel like The Outer Worlds does a lot better of a job. Difference is that it's a space opera. I feel like it has a lot in common with like being in the Millennium Falcon, being like a smuggler type character. It works in that regard. It's a little like the machinery and everything's dirty, but it's not like a gritty game. It's definitely a fun game, lighthearted game. But that's kind of like the vibe you get. You're on kind of like a ship that barely functions, and you're just trying to get from point A to point B, and you make stops along the way. And, there are people that need your help. You can choose how you want to help them, if you want to help them, in your overall quest, and you pick up new crew. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. If you want to get into that first person shooter RPG, Outer Worlds is a great decision.
That was one of the games I've been curious about. I wanted to watch some gameplay or try it out myself and just haven't gotten around to it. But I know it's out there. It's one of those games that had me curious.
Oh, yeah. I think it's worth it even just try out just the first environment if that's what you want to do. I think you would be surprised. I think it's a very fun game. I think it's very well done. They also talk into some serious subjects, too. Cyberpunk tries to do this, where they kind of get into like, you know, kind of how corporations pretty much run the world. Outer Worlds covers the same topic, but in a little bit more of a crazier, almost comic way. I'll get into like a little bit of the story from chapter one, so it's not a whole bunch of spoilers. This is one of the first quests that you run into. But you get to a city and you find out that the city is kind of, or one of the quests, the city is in some dire straits. And there's one quest where a person, a citizen from the city, committed suicide, just shot themselves in the head. But that person's, I guess, friends and family, now they're in a ton of indentured servitude to that person's employer because that person was considered to be property of the company. And by committing suicide, he committed company property damage, vandalism, in a sense, by committing suicide. Thus, his family was getting sued by the company for like crazy amounts. And so as one of the quests, you have to kind of resolve that. That quest, just by explaining it, I feel encompasses the whole corporation topic that Cyberpunk 2077 tries to do. But Outer Worlds does it, I think, a lot more effectively with less amount of words. So it's a great game to just kind of explore and just check out.
Awesome, man. Yeah, like I said, I think I'm going to put it in the queue at some point, but I'm also so backlogged.
Yeah, I know.
someday, right? Infinite time is what I need.
So why don't you get into to your games, and I got one more game coming up.
All right, cool. I've got two left. We've already mentioned this one, Assassin's Creed Valhalla. That's what I've been streaming on our Twitch channel, Push My Buttons Games on Twitch. I might be pushing 30 hours into the game now, but I have not pushed the story forward. Like the last time I streamed, I'm like, I'm just going to go over here and do this, and then we'll go to the end. And I just kept wandering around. Then I got into an area, it seemed to like infinite enemies, and just, I was like, come on, like, when do you guys stop coming? And then, so I did a fast travel back to one of the viewpoints and walked around there. I've been enjoying it. Like I said, probably multiple times on this podcast now, I jumped from Assassin's Creed 3 and Liberation to this. So I skipped 4, Syndicate, Rogue. What else is in there?
Odyssey.
Unity, Origins, and Odyssey. Yeah. I think that's all of them. So it's a total like change in games play style for me. And so far I'm enjoying it. Although I'm curious on sometimes I'm like, am I supposed to do this? Or wait, what are the consequences of me saying this? So, but so far, you know, there's no harm, no foul as far as I know. I'm just waiting for the, like, you shouldn't have killed that guy because now you can't get X weapon or something, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious if that's going to come up eventually. So the drinking game is kind of fun. There are times I just cannot get the rhythm down. There's a drinking game because you're a Viking. So you go over and you do a drinking challenge against somebody. And so you get your horn out and do it, you know, a chug game, and it's a rhythm. And then you get drunker and drunker as you drink, because you have to drink 3 horns. And so then after that, the screen's all blurry and you wobble around a little bit because she's hammered. Or he, whatever you chose to play as. Mm-hmm.
You can choose as like playing both of them too, can't you?
I think I did let the animus decide. And so far I've always been a female. So.
Huh, okay.
But yeah, right now I'm just enjoying running around England. So they did the Yule event that I didn't do any part of. And I believe there's an update coming for the game today. That's what I think I saw someone in my guild post. There's several guys in my guild that play the game too. And they've enjoyed it from what I can tell. So I found a couple bosses that I couldn't beat. There's this one witch thing. I was like determined to beat it. It's level 90. I think I was like around level 30 trying to beat it. I got through the first health bar and then I got halfway through the next health bar and I didn't realize she goes into like a mode 2.
Mm-hmm.
And or a second form, and then she just kicked my trash. So I will go back, but I was determined. I think I spent an hour. I was like, I just got to get this timing thing down and I will beat her. And then I was like, all right, we're running. I'm sick of this. Sick of dying. I thought I could do it, but then I saw she had like form number 2 and I was like, nope, not happening.
Yeah, I've done that too. When I was playing, like, there, I love those types of like fights where a game will include some super high level enemy, and you are completely under leveled when you find it, but you're like, I know I can try and beat this, so you give it a shot. There was one, not to get off subject, but near Automata or Automata, I don't know how you pronounce it. There was an enemy, completely optional, named Father Servo, and he was just like this little robot that's just like, I'll train you, just fight me. And so you fight him, and he starts off super low level, but then he says, okay, I'm going to upgrade myself, and then you can come back in a couple of days and you'll fight my new form. And I was like, I guess I was like mid level, probably like lower mid level. And I got him to like his final form, and I was able, because the game, you're incredibly mobile, I was able to like dance around him so he never hit me. But I was only able to get 3 hits in at a time, and I was doing this dance back and forth. And there was this epic boss music, and the fight took me like 45 minutes. And it was one of those fights that you can't beat until the end of the game, but I did it, man. And it was so great. I had to be like on my game. My thumbs were getting sweaty, and I was like, oh shoot. Like, I have to wipe my hand off, but I have to do it during like a slow part in the dance that you have to do. It was fun. It was a blast. But yeah, I love it when they include bosses like that.
Yeah, so I think there's 3 of them is what someone told me. I was just chatting with them about the game because they've already beat it. They told me they beat the story in about 100 hours. Mm-hmm. And they said there's still some glitches in the game. I think they said there was a couple world events they couldn't do because they were glitched out. So, but yeah, we'll see. I plan to do everything I can and hopefully platinum the game. As long as I don't get glitched out, I would be mad if I put in like 125 hours and couldn't get platinum because of a glitch. Mm-hmm. But so far, no, I've enjoyed it. The game is gorgeous. I'm still standing there at times going, oh my gosh, like this is a game like this. The colors are great. It just feels so real, like not real, I guess, but you know, just looks just like a painting. Sometimes you're just like taken aback. I'm like, oh my goodness. Like this is what we're playing in now, you know, because if you go back and you play like Ocarina of Time or stuff like that,
does not hold, you know,
that
up.
Was so long ago. Right. So I'm just like curious where we're headed with some of these graphics and like what's coming.
I hate Ubisoft as a company, but I got to admit, like they for Assassin's Creed, like that's a lot to pump out yearly. And they've done yearly entries on Assassin's Creed since Black Flag. And
no, they skipped a year for this one.
Oh, well,
between Odyssey was 2 years ago. So they did skip a year between Odyssey.
Well, and still,
but before that it was, I believe, every year. You're right. Just this was the one they took 2 for.
Odyssey was really well done. Like I was liking how the story was developing on that one. So
yeah, I skipped it and I want to go back. I've heard it's great.
Yeah. So I'm just kind of, I'm surprised. I hate Ubisoft. I hate the whole sexual abuse scandal that occurred. But geez, I sound really shallow, but like the game was kind of good. Maybe that's bad to say, but like, it just sucks. Cause I really like the company's product, even though I hate the company. So, but yeah, Odyssey, if you can ever find the time, that's another game that's going to just wipe out your schedule. So,
yeah, I think one of the guys in my guild said it was another one of those they've probably put 200 hours into overall with all the DLCs and everything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I am actually playing like a couple of other games. I was going to jump into my next one, unless you had more to say about Valhalla.
No, I guess the only thing I'll say is that there's just times it doesn't feel like Assassin's Creed. And I don't know if Odyssey felt that way. If you've played Ezio and those, they kind of feel like Assassin's Creed, but they don't feel like Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, I played the Ezio trilogy. Well, I really played the first 2 Ezio games. And then I played Black Flag. I really feel like Odyssey is not an Assassin's Creed game. It just takes place in the same world. And I kind of liked that. Mainly because the Greek setting is one of my favorite settings. So I'm kind of a sucker for it. So it's kind of an interesting mix. It doesn't feel like Assassin's Creed. So I really, I don't mind if it ever goes that route when I eventually pick Odyssey back up. If it doesn't ever go down the Assassin route, I am 100% okay with that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So that's the only thing else I was going to say was there's times I'm like, okay, I did the, you know, I synergized, I did the leap of faith. You know, there's the few things that make it Assassin's Creed and the overarching like plot and the orders, but overall, it just almost doesn't feel like Assassin's Creed. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of where it's at with me right now. So that was, I guess, the last thing I was going to say.
Okay, cool. I have one more game I want to get into, but I know we're at an hour and 5 minutes, so we're already kind of a little bit over, but I would like to spend a little bit of time talking about this game. Because this game has me fascinated. This game is Battletech. You heard of it?
I don't think I have.
Okay, it is kind of a sleeper hit. It is made by a company or studio called Harebrained Schemes. They did the Shadowrun series, which if you are, again, disappointed by Cyberpunk 2077 and you want to hit some Cyberpunk up, I would recommend the Shadowrun series by Harebrained Schemes. There are three games in it: Shadowrun Returns, Shadowrun Dragonfall, and Shadowrun Hong Kong. And all three of them are great. I would recommend Dragonfall, the middle one. They're not related to each other other than the fact that they're in the same world. Those games do a really good cyberpunk setting. And so the studio that did it, Harebrained Schemes, they made this next one when they were done with Shadowrun. It's called Battletech. It was released in 2018. It's also like Cyberpunk 2077 in that it is based off of a tabletop game. However, the tabletop game, from what I understand, it is the company that makes it. They very, very rarely put content out. And so they've kind of endorsed the community to make content for it. So it is an incredibly lore-heavy, difficult game to get into. But it's translated into a video game so well. It is a mech warrior game where you control a unit of soldiers. And each soldier has their own giant mech warrior. There are two ways to get stronger. One is to level up your pilot. They can level up in four different branches, and they gain certain abilities, which determines their class. And then you can upgrade their mech warrior. And so each mech has a different way. Like, there are different models of mechs, each one with their own advantages and disadvantages and how you load them up. There are different weight classes. There are different weapon categories. Each weapon has a certain amount of, it's complicated, man. Each weapon has a certain amount of weight. You also have to stack them with ammo. And, depending on how you build your mech, you can have like an ace pilot, but if you build your mech like crap, you're going to have a hard time on even the simplest missions. This is a complicated game. It starts off easy enough, but I'm kind of stuck on a mission. It's like, I'm wondering if I got to rebuild my mechs, but it's a turn-based tactical RPG where you control four mech warriors called the Lance, and you're on a board, and your mech can move a certain distance per turn. They can do actions per turn. They can fire some weapons, but by firing the weapons, they build up heat. And so if you overheat, you gain damage, which can be taken advantage of by the enemy. And so there are some turns you have to like pass so you can like exhaust the heat. Meanwhile, your enemy is taking turns. They have a certain amount of, you know, A grade, B grade, C grade weapons. And it's a hard game. It's tactical in every sense of the word. Like sometimes you got to hold back and hide behind this hill and wait for you to exhaust your heat as the enemy like looks for you. Or sometimes you got to like send out one member of your lance to like put a sensor on an enemy so you can see them even though they're not in your line of sight. Positioning where your mech is at will determine like what percentage chance you have to hit like a limb or the main body component. Or if you know how like this mech is built, you can aim for like their ammunition storage, which could be on any body part. And you can aim for the ammunition storage, which causes an explosion. It's like a really complicated game. And not just that, there's a campaign, which I'm currently in, which I'm expecting is going to take me over 100 hours to complete. There is another mode called Career Mode, which is the same exact game, but without the campaign story. You can literally run a game for hundreds of hours without touching the campaign. So they're just like, we'll create a game mode just for that. And so you can do that where like you just, cause in the campaign mode, you travel from planet to planet, you take on jobs. And then after a certain amount of jobs, the main story job comes up and you can decide to go to that story job whenever. Right. But in the career mode, they just open up the star map and they're like, okay, just do what you want. And the game is that in depth to where you can play a game without the campaign. And then they opened it up for the modding community to create their own campaigns. And so people have implemented mods for this game that update the rule set to a different era of the BattleTech lore, because you play within a certain era and they're like, well, we wanted to play the current era, so you download this mod and it changes the rules up and it changes the mechs up and the weapons up to match like 50 years in the future where the current game is at, or a previous edition takes place, you know, 20 years prior to where the game takes place. So they're like, we have this rule set and this campaign and this mod for you to install in the game to play during this era of BattleTech. And each one of those campaigns that these people make, like on the subreddits and stuff, they are full depth stories. And they change the star map or they increase the star map, or like it's intense. This game has a whole community behind it and no one in mainstream gaming has heard about it from what I understand.
I hadn't heard of it until you mentioned it.
Yeah.
Then I did a quick Google search just to see some of the images, and it's all showing the mechs. And I was like, oh, that could be really fun.
It's a blast. The story by itself is really fun. I feel like the story is what Star Wars should be. So the main plot, there's a prologue. I'll just go over the prologue. The prologue is three missions long. And you create your character, and your character has a certain amount of history, and that changes certain dialogue options. It doesn't really hit the main story super hard, so you can like feel free how you want to design your character. But essentially, there is someone from your past who is kind of like a mentor figure who hires you on. And he's working for this royal family that basically rules a certain subsection of space, which is like a certain star system, right? And so they probably, I don't know, they rule like 30 planets or something like that. And that's very, very, very small compared to the rest of the galaxy that they've got. And this galaxy is ruled by several factions, and some factions are bigger than others and stuff. So this kingdom rules like a system of 30 planets, and they're considered to be a small kingdom on like the outreaches of the galaxy. And so what that does is it sets up the story to be like an isolated event where whatever happens, it's large enough to have an epic in scope story, but not large enough to affect the lore of BattleTech. And so there you are, this bodyguard to, essentially she's a princess. Her father passes away before the game even starts. And so she's getting ready to ascend the throne and she gets caught in a coup and she gets thrown off of her throne. And so she goes into hiding and I think it skips forward like 3 years And then all of a sudden, and this is all the very beginning of the game. She just suddenly makes an appearance and she's like, "You were my bodyguard. You have a squad of mechs. I want to hire you as mercenaries to be my personal force to take back my kingdom." And so you run a war campaign being paid by her to essentially take back her kingdom and reclaim it. And it's a really epic story. It's like a full, you're running a war and it's really well done. It's well written. And it's really complicated and hard, but I would recommend it. I don't think there's a single thing that I dislike other than the fact that it can be, it's like the learning curve can be pretty steep. It seems like there comes a point, I guess, at the end of, I guess, what I would call chapter one. There are no chapters in it, but there are definitely missions that are bigger than other missions. And so there is one segment that I consider the end of chapter one, where after I passed that, difficulty spiked. And I was leveled appropriately, but what was the problem was I wasn't building my mechs correctly. And I didn't know the correct way to build my mechs. And so I had to look at the subreddit and figure it out. And they're like, for people who are playing this game the first time, these types of builds for your mechs, for these models, will work well for a first time for about half the game. And so I'm like, okay, I'm just going to do that. I played a bunch of side missions to get enough money to buy the stuff that I needed in the game. And then I equipped my mechs with the same build. And that was suggested. I'm like, holy crap, this does work. The game got a lot better. But I can see someone who like may not be into the whole like complicated tabletop game and decide, you know what, I want to give it a shot. I want to kind of branch out a little bit and get frustrated with Battletech. Because it's not for the faint of heart. I would really recommend it if you got the patience for it. But it's a fun game, but very, very deep. So yeah.
Cool, man.
That's me just raving about it.
it reminds me a little bit of Kingdom Hearts, the first one, only because of the gummy ship thing. I never knew how to build the gummy ship, and I remember getting to like right before the final area and I just couldn't get through the thing, and I had to go look up, and people were like, you have to, you know, use this gummy blueprint or whatever. I still to this day hate that stupid gummy ship system that they developed, because I was like, I have no idea what you want me to do here to design a ship. So I don't know if you
played that game. Yeah, I did. The gummy ship was fun. I guess that's like a really good like way to illustrate the issues that you can come across with the difficulty of this game.
Yeah, that's what came to mind. Is I was like, I got to a point, I was just like, I got to figure out, like, I was able to get through enough just up basically, but then there was a point I just kept getting destroyed and I had to go figure out how to do the proper gummy ship just to finally beat the game.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, I've got one game left that I played, and that was, so I finished Mario 64, like I said, and I just wanted a shorter game for the Switch there during the week of Christmas. And I had picked up Cave Story Plus at Walmart a while ago, and I saw it was around 10 hours, and I was like, well, that'll be fun. So I played through that, and yeah, I think it probably took me between 10 to 12 hours, somewhere in that range. Basically, plays like a Metroidvania is what I would call it. And it's got a fun little story to it. I thought, you're going back and forth between some areas. Plays also like a Mega Man in a way that you're getting your weapons and upgrading them. That was a kind of a cool mechanic is as you, beat enemies, you pick up, levels for your guns. And then if you get hit, you can lose that level. But like, I think max was 3 on that, if I remember right, for most guns. So they got a little bit more powerful or did something better. And then, so you'd have like the power up mode for it at high level. And so it was your incentive to not get hit in battle. So, finally beat it. The final boss was rough because you have to beat the last 3 boss. That's a little bit of a spoiler, but yeah, there's 3 final fights that you have to do. And then I did go look at a guide, and I guess like you can play more and you have to do some things or start another game. And then there's like the actual like end boss supposedly. So I thought it was a fun little story, fun little playthrough. I missed some things. I found some things that I think some people said you missed the first time through. As I just skimmed through a walkthrough, I found it seems like this game was big in other parts, like Japan or somewhere, but not really big here.
My brother was into it, I think, like 12 years ago. It's an old game, but I remember him playing a lot of it on, I think it, he may have played it. Jeez, it's on like almost every platform because it's a simple enough game. But I remember him playing a lot of it on some platform. And he was like, yeah, you would like it. But I just never did. I never got into it. I have it on Steam.
Yeah, I just happened to, I know I found it at Walmart for, I don't know, 15, 20 bucks. And it comes with the like audio little mini CD, like the GameCube disc. That's in there and an instruction manual and stuff. I was like, when was this game made? Because you open up games now and they're like, here's your disc, that's it. If you buy an actual game, there's almost nothing inside anymore. So I enjoyed it. I had some fun. I drained the battery on my Switch a few times and you know, just kind of relaxed on the couch and just chugged through it. Enjoyed the story. Kind of, maybe I'll play through it again another day, you know, after see if I can get the rest of it. I will not complete it. That's one of those. I was like, I don't got the time for that. So, and you know, there's no trophies or anything on the Switch. I don't think this was on PlayStation at all. And I don't remember hearing it on Xbox. So I don't know what systems it was on beforehand. So,
I'm not sure if it got released on PlayStation. I think it was on Switch, and I think it was on PC, and I think it was on a lot of older Nintendo consoles, but I don't think it was ever on a Sony console.
Yeah, I don't remember it on the older Nintendos, but again, things come out that, you know, you're just, they're very low run, or you may not hear about them. So I hadn't heard about it, and I found it, and I knew it was going up in price, and it was one of those, like, I just timed it perfectly, I think, because I think I saw it on Amazon for $40 to $70 range, you know, brand new or whatever. So happened to be at the Walmart and it was in the clearance section that's still sealed, and I was like, you know what, price is going up, let's grab it. and I'm glad I did for that price, and I thought I had I enjoyed my time with it. So
yeah, cool, awesome, man. Yeah, I'll eventually, I think I'll play it. It seems to be short enough, but
like I said, if it was one of those two, the difficulty kind of spikes at a few spots. Same type of thing. You all of a sudden you're like, oh, it's taking a lot more to beat you guys. Oh, well, let me switch to this weapon. Cause you got a couple different guns. You get there's a sword weapon you can get. There's a fireball. And then I think there's a couple other weapons I missed from what I saw in that walkthrough. So,
okay.
But yeah. And then, you do have to save here and there. So, there'd be a couple times I'm like, I just need to find the save point, and then you die and you'd have to start all over from your last save point. You're like, But no, I thought that was a fun little game.
Awesome. Well, I think we've run on long enough, but I really just enjoyed having this little side quest with you, man.
Yeah, man. It's always fun just to chat some games and a little bit of news and you know, just kind of hang out a little bit.
I appreciate all you listeners out there. Again, sorry that the last episode was 3 weeks ago. We normally try to release it every other week, but until Luke gets his computer fixed, we're kind of in limbo. So we will, and not only that, but like, it's kind of a crazy time for everyone. So just stay safe out there. Play some fun games, play what you like. We will see you next time.
Yeah, play some games and make sure you guys play harder.
Play harder, guys.
Yeah, game harder. It's actually game harder. I wanted to
catch it.
I was just messing with you, Mike. Game harder.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
Game harder.
Bye.
Somewhere in a movie studio corporate boardroom. Okay, pitch me something good, see?
All right. There's a war. It's in the stars. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away?
That would never work. Next.
All right. So there's an alcoholic tech billionaire, and he's captured by terrorists, builds himself a robot suit to escape, then goes on adventures saving the world with Norse gods and unfrozen World War II superhero.
Boo! Next!
All right. This unknown boxer from Philly takes on the champ. Inspirational sports movie.
Not woke enough.
Okay. How about a podcast about movie franchises, how they get made, and whether the movies hold up or not?
Go on.
And we review the movies and talk about them?
I can put that on a lunchbox, and we'll call it Kiss Your Franchise Goodbye. It's the best idea I ever had.
I'm Mark.
And I'm Brooke.
And I'm Andy. Subscribe to Kiss Your Franchise Goodbye on Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, or wherever you're listening now.
Join us every week along with special guests to discuss some of our favorite movie franchises and why the world seems to revolve around them.
Through November, we're discussing the films surrounding James Bond in a miniseries we're calling On Her Majesty's Secret Podcast.
Not just Bond, also Bond-adjacent movies like Austin Powers, Top Secret, unofficial Rogue Bond movies.
Atomic Blonde, The Rock, and some of these will be exclusive to GNN Network subscribers.
Join us with new episodes at the beginning of most weeks, barring any problems with our spy gear.
You expect me to podcast?
No, Bond. I expect you to
kiss your franchise goodbye.